My name's Kat, and I'm an alcoholic. Hey, welcome to the Monday 8 p.m. Blue Chip Speaker Meeting at the NAVA Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. So tonight we have Jim telling his story, Jim E. I can't wait to learn more about him. So Jim, come on up.
Hi, I'm Jim. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a very nice guy. Or so I've heard. Are there any other alcoholics here tonight? Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. I get this out of the way first, and then I'll leave it alone, but I think I might be a drug addict, too. But there's other meanings for that, so I'm lucky. Actually, I probably qualify for every 12-step group there is, maybe. I didn't think so, but last night we went to this Korean steakhouse, all you can eat thing, and I ate all I could eat. I ate more than I could eat. I was like in serious pain afterwards, and that's how I know I'm still an alcoholic. That's how I drank. That's how I did everything that made me feel good. I have a lot of, it took me a long time to get step one completely. After bad things happen, I could kind of say, yeah, I guess I do have a problem, you know. But I would always get back to this place where, you know what, if I just figure this out, but there's got to be a book out there that teaches you how to drink without consequences, or, you know, maybe I just need to get around the right people. But as it turns out, it's chronic for me, and it's progressive, and I've found that I have to participate in this thing to get any relief from it. I can white knuckle it for long periods of time, but to actually be happy and productive and a good person, I need to be around other people who have the same problem that I do. And that's it. I mean, there's no like, there's no mystery to this thing. I tried to make it like it was, you know, when I first got here, like it was like some profound mystical thing that you had to, like, you know, spend a lot of time to really understand. But it turns out if I don't drink, I'm halfway there. You know, that's the biggest thing in my life. Just if I don't drink, I'm in the game and I have a shot. There's other things that I have to do, but you know, when I first came, I have about five or six other sobriety dates, maybe. The first one, I think I was 20 or 21. It was April Fool's Day. I remember that. But I was okay when I came in here. I was okay with all the steps and the traditions. I was kind of intrigued by it, and I felt like I got sober. Out west in L.A. actually, and at that time it was really hip to get sober. So I was around a lot of people that a lot of people I thought were cool, and a lot of people I looked up to, and so that got me pretty far along, you know. It was easy to stay sober for a little while on that, but you know, it's and I got all the other stuff, you know, seemed like it was stuff I could kind of sink my teeth into, and like, you know, I mean, I was expounding on the steps and the traditions of like at 3 weeks sober, you know, I was like the smartest guy in the room. Just like when I was drinking and when I was at the bar, you know, I was the smartest guy. Ask me anything and I'll explain it to you. I'll tell you exactly what you want to know. I thought that I knew everything about everything. Coming to meetings was just sort of a formality. Just, you know, I'll join the group so that I can help other people get what I have, you know. Which, looking back, it turns out was nothing. I thought I knew everything about everything, and I pretty much knew nothing about everything. Or one of my favorite philosophers likes to say, everything I knew was wrong. So my drinking career was pretty typical, I think. I started when I was 13, and it was the coolest thing. And I didn't get sober, like I said, the first time until I was 21. So everything I learned from that in that period, I learned as a practicing alcoholic, and consequently missed a lot of the basic stuff. I always admire people that come in here that didn't start drinking until college or afterwards, and they got the fundamentals down, and so they know how to, like, do the basics. I didn't know how to do the basics. I still don't know how to do some of them, but so when I got here, I was, from day one, I was, without knowing it, I was missing a whole lot of, you know, important information. And usually the way it worked was I would drink whenever possible, which meant any time of the day or night. You know, if it was there, if I had it, I was going to drink it. I've never had a wine collection or a case of beer in the fridge that stays there all week until the week. You know, that was... if it was in my fridge, I drank it. If it was in your fridge, I drank it. So years later, I moved back to Atlanta and run into an old friend of mine, and he's got a neighbor that may or may not have a drinking problem, and his neighbor goes out of town, and they have a fridge in the garage, it's stocked full of beer, and then a liquor cabinet with all kinds of stuff. And they come back a week later, and it's all gone. Like, all of it's gone. And I remember my friends telling me about it. He said, maybe you can help this guy. And I'm like, to me, that's, he was blown away. Like, he was just shocked. And I'm like, well, that's what we do. I mean, we're capable of a lot, both as drunks and as sober alcoholics. And I just went down that path, you know, and got sober when I was 21, but then I realized I was missing, you know, I wasn't having as good a time as I could be, you know. I was missing out on life, and I'm probably not out. I'm too young to be a real alcoholic, and et cetera, et cetera. So I started drinking again, and then my bottom got a lot worse. You know, the point I got to where I was finally willing to ask for help and come back to these meetings, it was a lot lower, you know. And so I started thinking, well, that's, you know, that's it. You know, I finally hit the point where I can get this thing. But the unmanageability just didn't make sense to me. You know, it wasn't sinking in. So eventually I drank again. I don't know how many times I did it. At some point in my mid-30s, it's all a blur now. I remember specific things, but I couldn't give you a clear timeline except that I drank a lot and did a lot of other stuff, and it got worse and worse. And then I'd get sober, and I'd get some things back, and then I'd relapse, and it would get even worse. Like, every time it got worse, and it was like, how can it get worse than it was last time, you know? I mean, it was bad, but this time was even worse, you know? And I remember reading that part of the book where Bill's at some convention or something, and he accidentally takes a drink, and then he's drunk again and misses all his appointments or whatever, and he's pounding his fist on the bar. How could this happen again? And I had been through that so many times, not just trying to get sober, but just, you know, like, I don't know how, countless nights of, I'm just going to go have two beers, and then I'll come home and I'll do my thing. And it never worked. There was never a time where I just had to, that I can remember. If it was, it was because I was, you know, restrained or restricted somehow. I was sitting at a bar once, and this was out west, and trash. It's like 1 or 2 in the morning. And I find myself on the floor next to the bar stool, and I climb back up and sit down and look at the bartender, and he's looking at me. He actually was the first person that said, "You're an alcoholic and you need to go to a meeting." But this wasn't until much later. But I looked at him and I said, did we just have an earthquake? And I look around and everybody's like, you know, they're in earthquake shock, like, and it just went right over my head, you know. It was like totally oblivious. I wasn't always a blackout drinker. Usually I would just drink tons and tons. But then if I added stuff to the mix, I would usually black out. And I thought it was cool, you know. I thought it was like, and I've had friends, you know, that they can take the horrid shit that we do, and make a joke out of it, make it sound funny after the fact. And that was my thing, you know. But, you know, looking back, it's like I never came out of a blackout doing something nice for somebody or, you know, running a charity or giving a toy to a kid or, like, bringing flowers home to my wife. I was, that, you know, it wasn't cool, you know. And eventually I was fortunate, this last go around, I was fortunate that I drank enough that people were actually looking, you know, that look. I don't know if we've all experienced it, but there's that look like I'd walk into a bar and the bartender would just roll her eyes. I'm like, oh my God. So I started, you know, I knew it was, but by the time I got sober this last time, I knew I was an alcoholic. I knew I needed help, and I had no clue what to do. You know, I was just devastated. But I just kept drinking, you know. It was, it still amazes me. No matter how bad it gets, it can always get worse. So, when I came in the last time, I hooked up with these AA rebels. You know who you are. And the whole deal was you don't drink or use. That's it. You know, people would, I'd sit in meetings and people talk about the steps and the principles, and I'd be like, oh, I don't want to hear this anymore. I just want to not drink, you know. And I want a life back, you know. I want my family back. I want a job. That would be nice. And in that period, I finally figured out, you know, you know, for me, hitting bottom was like some set of circumstances or behaviors. Being an alcoholic was, an alcoholic is somebody who gets so drunk that they crash cars and go to jail and that kind of thing. But, and then I had to learn this from other people, but, you know, the reason I couldn't stay sober is because the circumstances would always get better. And I'd get my shit back and I'd have my life and I'd think, oh, well, I must not be an alcoholic. I just had a bad run, you know. It was just a... And when that clicked for me and I realized that when I drink, the same thing always inside me, the same thing. And I might not go crash a car. I might actually just get wasted and stagger home. But it was the same thing that happened inside my brain, you know. And I couldn't escape that. Like I knew looking back that that's the way it always was from the beginning. I drank and this like switch went off and it changed my whole perception of reality. It took away all my insecurities. There was this one cat out west that used to tell a story about he'd go out drinking as a duck and after a couple drinks, he'd turn into an eagle and go swooping around looking for prey. You know? And I could totally relate. You know, that's how it worked for me. Until it didn't. I'm also one of those that I drank for long enough where after two drinks, it was worse than when I started. You know, the stuff going on in my head, the pain and the anguish and the guilt and the shame and I was a glutton for punishment, you know, that kind of alcoholic. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to go, you know, you don't have to drink to that point. The bottom doesn't have to be about how low you're willing to go. For me now, you know, hitting bottom is, I understand, it's the point at which I'm willing to reach out for help. That's the bottom. I don't want to go any farther. I need some help. And usually it's like screaming out to a God that I don't believe in or that, you know, I think is like only there for other people. But, you know, that just that prayer that is always out, you know, desperation. Like, please just stop this pain, you know, give me my life back. And I realized that's all I got to do. And as far as drinking goes, the way that I finally stopped was, it was the first time this ever happened, but I was drunk and I reached out for help. And somebody showed up at the bar, came and got me, and took me to a meeting late at night. And I was in this meeting drunk, and it was with a bunch of people that I knew I'd been sober with for this long period of time. And I felt safe, you know. I always thought, like, oh, you show up at a meeting drunk, something must be wrong with you, you know. But it's okay to do that, you know. It's okay. And it's okay to take a white chip when you're drunk, I found out. And I, you know, I at that point I was ready. So you know, I don't, you know, everything leading up to me getting sober the last time, just, you know, just picture what you did, and it was probably the same, you know, or not. I don't know. Sometimes I hear some great stories, and I'm like, ah, maybe I'm not really an alcoholic. And that's the way when I first got sober, I was around all these, you know, career alcoholics, these older guys. I don't have those stories, you know. I never fell off of a 14th floor balcony or drove my car through the front of a house or whatever. So I kept relapsing until I did all that shit, you know. But as I was trying to say earlier, you don't have to do that. Because I knew I was an alcoholic. I mean, really deep down inside, I knew. I just couldn't accept that I was powerless over it, and that I couldn't do this alone. You know, I don't have the self will. I don't have the discipline. I don't have whatever it is that those normal people out there have. It's just not in me. And that's okay, you know. There's a part of this that I've seen mostly in other people, but I catch glimpses of it for myself too, is that it's better, like, I'm having this disease and getting sober and being a part of this deal, I'm better now than I was before it all started, you know? It's the only thing that's got me to a place where I can actually tolerate spiritual principles and, you know, things that are not based around self-centered need and greed and all that. I had to learn that in here, you know. I could talk about it. I could try to convince you that I was a good guy or whatever and play the part and do nice things once in a while, but it always came back. I want to do as little work as possible to feel as good as possible. That's my true nature. That's like what I'm dealing with. So thank God for AA, because it helped me find a way, you know, to resist that and to actually build a life that's not, you know, a house of cards. It's not, you know, and I have to humble myself a lot these days. And that's okay too. There's a part in the book that talks about fully conceding that we were alcoholics and that this is the first step in recovery. And that, if you're struggling with this, you know you need help, but you don't know what, you know, that's, you can start there. I'm not telling you that that's the only way. I'm just saying, you know, getting the alcoholic part and the unmanageability part is key for me. I mean, it allowed me to keep going. I never had a problem with God necessarily, but I always thought that I knew God better than anybody else. Like, I know the real God, like the God, the cool God, you know, the God of rock and roll or whatever. I don't know. The God that gives me power to, you know, whatever. And when I started examining that, I got to a point where it's like, there's a reason that in the big book, there's a chapter called We Agnostics. And there's a reason why that chapter is in there. And it's for people like me. And it turns out there's like a lot of us in here. And how I see it is, I go back and forth from believing in God. You know, some days I believe it, and some days I don't. And some days I'm like doing foxhole prayers, and some days I walk outside. All I got to do is just see the sunlight and some birds, and I'm like blown away. Like, wow, I get to experience this. You know, and I'd love to carry that all the time with me, but it's, you know, all of that's contingent on what work I'm willing to put this into this deal. The gravity of my alcoholism is always going to be pulling me down and into that dark, you know, lonely place. And so I have to build the ladder to climb out of it and stay out of it. And it's the other thing is, as far as the steps go, I would always jump ahead to the 12th step, like that, or the 10th step maybe, but the 11th step too. I mean, I was an idiot, and I would tell people when they were new, just go straight to the 11th step, man. That's all you got to do, and you'll get it. You know, whatever. And but what I found is that if I'm on that path, if I'm on that beam, if I've done the first three steps. Even if I'm just, this is my first day in here sober, I can help the person who's new. I can help the person that needs to hear what I've experienced, you know, in this deal. And I don't have to teach them anything. All I got to do is talk about my experience. And and be honest about what I'm dealing, what I'm going through, what I've gone through. And people relate. You know, that's just, it just blows me away. The people that I look at and I see and I think, they're nothing like me. That's, and then the conversation will start and it's like, they're just like me. Which may sound corny and cheesy, but there's something in that. That's something that I think I was always longing for too, the connection. And AA for me is the best place to find that. I can get it out there. I can find it out there, but I really just these days I only hang out with recovering alcoholics. Time is short. Life is fleeting. We only have so much. We're given this gift, you know, and I want to be around people that are like celebrating that all the time, you know, or talking about it, or like checking my ass when I'm out on a limb, which is pretty frequently. I hope you don't mind me rambling. That's what I do best, so... So the alcoholic thing I had, it's clear in the book, the first step in defining what alcoholism is. For some reason, when I read stuff like that, I can't understand it, you know. But it's not about the behavior, you know. It's not about how bad things got because of my drinking. It's the fact of what happens when I put the alcohol in my body. And unfortunately, I have to be reminded of that pretty regularly. I'm pretty sure. You know, I don't take any chances with that anymore. I used to, you know, I don't even deal with the first step anymore. I've graduated. I can move on and, you know, whatever, do my thing. But I'm pretty thick-headed alcoholic. So when I hear new people talking about their experiences coming in, when I'm in a first step meeting, it brings me back to exactly where I need to be. And I'll go out, I'll stay out of meetings for periods of time and get into self-will and do the workaholic thing or whatever. And then I'll get like a little loopy, a little crazy, like not feel okay. I'm always grumpy, hopefully not too grumpy. And just, you know, general negativity and not, I'm like, what's going on? Why can't, and then I come to a meeting and it's like, all that gets lifted, you know? Or I get to see the door opening a little bit and it's like, oh, okay. I just got to take my medicine, you know? I just got to keep showing up here and listening and paying attention. And, you know, it used to be I'd come in, and I, like I said, it's like I couldn't imagine. Like, I know I'm sick, I know I'm an alcoholic, but at least I'm not as sick as these other people, you know, which I didn't realize that how sick I was to be thinking that, you know. And but it turns out, like, my disease is pretty bad. Like, I may be sicker than anybody. You know, I might be like the sickest, but, you know, the solution, the relationships that I have in this program get me to a point where that doesn't matter anymore, you know. It doesn't matter in terms of, you know, how far down the scale I went. It doesn't matter in terms of, can I help another alcoholic? My brain will tell me it does. My brain will, you know, it'll put me in a position where I can't help anybody. I'm better than everybody, but I can't help anybody either, you know. The extreme illogical thinking that comes out of my brain is, it just blows me away sometimes. So it's uncomfortable being a sober alcoholic sometimes. For me it was like I'm waiting for something to happen. Like, you know, I would in the beginning, I would go to meetings like 4 or 5 times a day. I would just hang out at Clubhouse and smoke cigarettes and drink coffee. Maybe put some money in the basket, but not usually. And just be waiting, you know, when is it going to happen? When's this thing going to happen? And I didn't realize, like, as I was doing that, I was making friends with other alcoholics, and I was starting to have relationships that were based on, you know, sobriety and showing up at meetings. I didn't know that was what was happening. I needed to be kind of tricked into it in a way. I could not tell you what was going to happen. I couldn't look into the future and say, this is what my sobriety is going to look like when I get there. Even though I could look around and see a lot of really sober people, I couldn't imagine a life where I was, you know, content and had the things, all the things I needed, and be okay with that. But I got the part about just keep coming back, keep showing up. You know, if I were to give advice to anybody, that's one of the biggest things I would say is, like, no matter how idiotic I sound up here right now, just come back. You're going to hear somebody that'll say something that makes sense. I spent a lot of time making judgment calls from the back row. Usually I was all the way in the back. And no offense to anybody in the back row tonight. But that's where I was. That's where I was hanging out and snarling. I'm getting a 3-minute warning, 2-minute warning. Oh, right on. Back row. We need t-shirts. Where is all the people who were broke, busted, and thoroughly disgusted. But, you know, that was my set for a while. It was what kept me in these rooms. And I had to have, like, an angel, like, come down from the sky and take me to a meeting, you know? It wasn't like I could just take the advice of a fellow alcoholic, you know? Why don't you go to a meeting, you know? I had to be fooled into it. And what I realize now, too, is there was always a glimmer of hope when I came to these meetings. And I saw people that I recognized and that were friends. And I knew their story. You know, I knew what they were going through. And it was like, we're kind of in this together, you know? It took me a long time, you know, to figure that out. But I know now I'm not missing anything out there, like the drinking. You know, that's what one of the things, too, that I was always like, oh, man, this. We went to a concert the other night, and there was a lot of people there. And I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, I don't see any drunk people. Like, there's no, like, aren't we supposed to all be drunk at this thing? Like, I was always trashed at the, I forgot where I was going with that, but it's taken its toll on my memory. Anyway. I'm also one that resisted, you know, the suggestions, and then somewhere along the line I decided to take the suggestions, even though I absolutely disagreed with them and thought they were a waste of time, and was surprised once again that it makes a difference. You know, getting sober is not that hard, but reaching out is the key. You know, that's the hard part for me, just reaching out. Once I do that, everything's kind of cool. You know, I hear what I need to hear. People are, I mean, so unbelievably helpful and loving in this program. And that's really all I'm looking for, you know, is just not to be scared all the time, you know, not to be running from something and not regretting things, you know. And this is the only place I found that solved that or is solving that problem, you know. It's a lot less. When I came in here, it was the end of the world, you know. I know there's people in here that understand that. There's nothing left. And it changed, you know. It got better. So that wasn't a very organized talk, but I have to say, anytime I get asked to speak, it's an honor because it helped, you know, and this is good advice, too. I'm not telling you what to do, but if you're like me, it's a good to raise your hand and say something. That way you can see how crazy you might be when the words actually come out of your mouth. And I'm okay. Like tonight, I don't feel that crazy. Like I think I might have said something, you know, halfway decent. And it continues to get better. And I, you know, I'm grateful that I got it. You know, at least I got it when I got it. Because most people don't. Most of us, if you're sitting in this room right now, I think you're pretty lucky, you know, because most of us are out there scraping, you know, trying to get that next thing. And I've had enough friends die of this thing. I know it's a real deal. Like, it's not like that alone is enough reason to get sober. Unfortunately, it doesn't really motivate all of us, but it's a real thing. And I feel very fortunate to be here tonight. I'll probably be here tomorrow, too, okay? If not, somewhere else at a meeting or on the phone with another alcoholic or watching a movie at home and eating ice cream probably is the only other option. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Dripping and I can't make it quit. The window's open and you're gone. I'm real tempted to do something rash, but it's too late and I'm so tired. Yesterday the crowd went home. We dropped them at the airport laughing and crying. As we watched the plane float off, it was just you and me and I burned up lines. Yeah, you gotta stop somewhere. Yeah, you gotta stop somewhere. One day it's all been done, and you gotta stop somewhere. Running into furniture and bumping into walls, and wound up tight as a clock. Swing the door open and take a deep breath. Crank up the car and put it in the street. Well, I'm driving round and round. Can't get lost cause I'm going nowhere. And I wind up leaning on the bar to hear the famous last words of another drunk poet. Yeah, you gotta stop somewhere. Yeah, you gotta stop somewhere. One day it's all been done. You gotta stop somewhere. busted for thinking slow, being stupid, laying low, busted for being out of style. Well, I can't be king for a day, not this way, not this lifetime, and I guess it serves me